ஜானஞ்சனாசவாக்கய சத்திருமே தன்யேனே நமஹா ீச்சேதாங்கோபீஷம் ஸ்வயூப்பாந்தேயாச்சேபுனாச்சுமாஜன்மீ சனாத்தனாமிபாசிபேவியோ நமோ நம ஸ்ரீகிருஷ்ணச்சைதன்யூனந்தாசவேந்த ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா 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 ஹரே 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 ராமோ ஹரே ராமோ ராம ராம ஹரே ஹரே. Excuse me. Greetings from Vrindavan. Fortunately, I'm in my place again. So it's kind of set up to giving these classes, and I'm unfortunately winding up my stay in Vrindavan. And it's a certain energy, kind of leaving the Dham and getting prepared to leave. At the same time, so many people are coming that want to see the Dham, and I'm trying to facilitate the pilgrims that come within Prabhupada's mission. It's just such a misfortune. If someone comes to the Dham and doesn't see the Dham, Vishya Chidya Kade Shude Hade Man Kade Hamahevabo Shri Vrindavan Dham. When one's mind is peaceful and he's free from the desire for sense gratification, one could actually see Vrindavan. I kind of give that analogy that it's just like taking a picture. You know, there has to be two things. There has to be the proper focus, and there has to be the proper perspective in which you focus, which you view the scene you're going to take a picture of. So, same thing in Vrindavan. The focus is the peaceful mind. The perspective is hearing it in the proper way from someone who has some experience in the Dham. So I try in a humble way to give people that experience, and it's just the greatest jewel, the greatest gift, if you can come to Vrindavan in the proper way. Even in the Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada mentions it, it's one of the five most potent items of the devotional service, Mathura Das. And the Prabhupada mentions, even if one, he mentioned different things, but he said even that a non-devotee comes to the holy Dham, like Vrindavan, you know, immediately they can experience something if they come in a non-offensive way. I told the story that my mother and father came to Vrindavan after being quite inimical to me. I didn't look at the Krishna consciousness, and they came to Vrindavan, and you know, they stayed in the guest house, and my mother woke up chanting Hare Krishna, just the potency of the Dham. Prabhupada said even to Lithia for a fortnight guarantees liberation. Of course, it's living in the proper way, chanting the holy name, Sukhita Pi Hare Gita. even chanting the holy name once guarantees liberation. It's a particular consciousness. But when people come here, there's such an opportunity to get the proper spiritual experience. Anyway, for next Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, I won't give class. And next Sunday, I won't give class either. I'll already be out of Vrindavan in Delhi. And then the following Monday, not this Monday here, but the 26th of February, I'll be flying out to America. And I'll resume my class on that following Wednesday. I believe I'm going to speak on sannyas. It's the 25th anniversary of my sannyas. It was taken in right before Gaur Purnima, I believe in 1982, when I was just not even 32 years old. And then the week after that, I'm going to begin like I normally do. Someone just came on. What I normally do is I teach. So on the Wednesday class, I'm going to teach the 9 items of devotional service from Bhakti Sandarbha. Some people requested at least one of the classes a little bit more philosophical. And I think on the Sunday class, I'm going to in depth go over the story of Narada Muni, because it's the whole gamut of spiritual life. It's a very, very practical story about coming to Krishna consciousness, and I'll go over the commentaries, the purports, and I think it'll be nice. And I'll do that. When I complete that story, I'll go on to something else, either another Bhagavatam story or something from the CC. Another flavor we can all, in our Krishna conscious repertoire, understand different leelas and different stories of the Bhagavatam and the CC. So that's kind of what's coming up. And I used to have a healthy guilt of not continuing a regular class, but more or less just speaking spontaneously, which is why I want to take a break and then start up again a study, because this class was meant for some type of course, sangha, but in a systematic way where you can build on the study week by week and do that. Today was the disappearance day of my dear godbrother, Sripad Malkrishna Maharaj. So I thought today I can give half the class, say something about him. It's so wonderful to glorify Vaishnavas. One of the main mantras in my spiritual life is to advance. We advance by mercy. Mercy comes from the great souls. And the conduit of that mercy is our worship and glorification of them. So on the appearance and disappearance day of the great acharyas, their eternal personalities, they're not just bodies. This is very clear in Bhakti Sandhava, Jiva Goswami discusses. Never think that the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are just historical figures. They're not just historical figures. They're eternal souls. And as eternal souls, you have connection with them and relationship with them. And they can be accessed by the worship and glorification. And therefore, on these particular days, it's very, very important to actually celebrate them properly. Because the devotee is the ashraya or the abode of mercy. And we're seeking bhakti. And really, bhakti does not come from Krishna, bhakti comes from the devotee. Because the devotee is the one with the bhaktiya level thought. Okay, this is such a main practice. Sadhu Sangha is everything. Shiva in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, in the Buddha Vajita, and I explained this many times, Krishna explains the Karma Guru, the topmost secret, and he says, if it's not by mantras, not by fast, not by, you can't attain it. The only way is by sadhu sangha. And sadhu means one, he has exclusive love for Krishna, and therefore Krishna, as a person, and as a perfect person, becomes bound and forced naturally to reciprocate with love, and he gives himself to the devotee. So if you want Krishna, you have to go to the person who has Krishna, and that's the devotee. The sadhu sangha, that's our life. That's our life, and that's our prayers. Actually, one of our main meditations in chanting the holy name should be main meditations in the holy name is to pray for sadhu sangha, because it's the association of the great souls where we can advance. That's our anyway. Just a little something. I wasn't able to go to Govardhan today for various reasons. They had a little function there, but I went to Mark Krishnamaj's, one of his main cooks, we all know Gopal Raj, and actually his last cook. He likes to celebrate this day because he liked to celebrate this day by cooking for Kamal Krishnamurti's godbrothers. So I went over there, and in one meal, he cooked all Kamal Krishnamurti's favorites. It's called uttapam, kind of like a, anyway, it's like a pancake. And then he also liked South Indian, what is it, dosha, stuffed dosha, and other things, so we celebrated there, and it was nice. And let me say a little bit something about my dear godbrother. Of course, I was very, very, very close with him. He had a way of extending himself to people, and he was an empowering person. And leadership means empowerment, and empowerment, I thought of my own definition of it, but it seems when someone who's empowerment, a person who's empowering, he can understand the talents that people have. Not everyone has that ability. You can understand the specific gifts and service that people have. And then you also have the nature and personality to encourage and facilitate those talents. And then finally, you may set parameters of accountability to coordinate those talents with a mission or a project, etc. Of course, the people who are disempowering, they start with the parameters of accountability. But actually, Kamal Krishna is very empowering. And I remember when Srila Prabhupada left this world, of course, Kamal Krishna was Prabhupada's secretary at that crucial time. And had so much trust Prabhupada had in him. And I remember after Prabhupada left the world, and it was in the evening, Kamal Krishnamaj, you know, asked me if I could clean Prabhupada's rooms. They used to clean it with eucalyptus oil and water. And I remember when he asked me, I do it, I said, yes. He said, oh, great, good man. Just a simple statement, but something that's actually very, very, I find very, very much missing these days in terms of leadership, people who know actually how to, just a simple statement, just saying, oh, he expressed to me, wow, he's relieved. He said, oh, great, a good man. it was just I was nobody at that time. I mean, I was just a new devotee, just a few years, but just a simple recognition that I was at least responsible, and the reciprocation that he felt some pleasure and relief, that acknowledgement. See, he was an empowering personality. And what to speak of, his capacity for service. Another thing that I really very much appreciated, you know, to spread Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada had to establish a corporation. And, you know, and a corporation, and it was kind of, you know, it was a militaristic aspect of it. Naturally, there was a, you know, basically every relationship you seem to have with someone, either he was above you or below you, or, you know, that's corporate life. So there was a certain kind of corporate structure. And because the whole Krishna consciousness movement, there was no congregation. Even Grihasthas were under that authority. So it can kind of be a little bit of, I guess I'll use just a regular expression, it's kind of a bit of a drag to always live within a corporation. But the wonderful thing about Kamal Krishna Maharaj, although, you know, he represented the corporation, he was the leader, he made it work to serve Prabhupada's mission and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Among the leaders, he was very, very unique in that he could take it out of the corporation. In other words, I just remember he would invite the God brothers to Prasadam where everyone sat as equals. And that's also Chaitanya Charitamrita, after all, our spreading of Krishna consciousness is also demonstrating the life of the devotees. So it's a very, very fine mixture, especially at that time, between the army and the corporation, but also keeping the life of the devotee. And I often mention, what is Chaitanya Charitamrita? Chaitanya Charitamrita means Chaitanya, the life force. Charita, the character, amrita, of immortality. The character of the life, the character of the life force and eternality. And what is that? That's the loving exchanges of bhakti between and the surrender to Krishna and the relationship to the devotee that we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the way he would do it, you know, just he would take the, you know, out of the corporation, the devotees would sit and they would exchange, especially in relationship with the prasadam, you know, the kind of loving exchanges that actually give you the life of a devotee. And he always had this sense. I remember one time I was organizing feasts at the Goshala. Now it's the house on that land, which is now the VIHE. And so one of my teachers would be there. And I had another teacher, this Bengali man, who was the supreme, superb cook. I mean, he was such an excellent cook. And in terms of cooking, I just ate at the Goshala at Nandanandan's, you know, Bengali, you know, the vegetables and the different tastes. And this person would cook the most amazing, amazing feast. So we had, you know, about 20 God brothers over. We do this often, and we had the bhajans of Narottam Das Thakur. And then we would have this feast and this prasadam. And I remember Kamal Krishnamurti sitting there, and in the middle of the feast, so much relishing that life, that he said, I knew that one day in this movement we'd be experiencing the ecstasy of Chaitanya Charitamrita, but I never expected this. So he had that sense of life. I remember also in Srila Prabhupada's rooms towards the last days, of course, he was the secretary, and he would sit in the room to see Prabhupada. Initially, he had to go before him. Naturally, he was to regulate and protect, you know, care for Prabhupada. But at the end, Prabhupada was so magnanimous that Prabhupada said, just anybody who wants to see me can see me at any time of the day. There was absolutely no restriction to see Prabhupada. You can go at any time you want. And he was just there, you know, on the bed, you know, I guess preparing to leave this world. And I remember at a particular time, Prabhupada had this dream that a Kaviraj, a Ayurvedic doctor, had this special type of medicine that could cure him. And the dream was of a Ramanuja Kaviraj. They have that really, like that white tilak with the big red line. And I happened to be in the room, and Tamal Krishnamaraj was sitting at Prabhupada's feet. And when he was sitting at Prabhupada's feet, someone came in and said by coincidence he met a friend who had an Ayurvedic doctor and it happened to be a Kaviraj with the Ramanuja Tilak, and they were making this rare medicine out of diamonds and, you know, whatever it is, out of diamonds and gold. And I remember when this happened, it was such a drama. Because it was a drama. It was day and night. Prabhupada's leaving. This is like living in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I kind of knew at that time that he would write a drama. And he wrote that wonderful drama, The Final Pastimes. And of course, after that, he wrote Jagannath Priyanapadam, which is wonderful. It's the first drama written in English using the rules of classic Sanskrit poetics. Wonderful. And of course, my favorite story, and I think it is, it's Tamal Krishnamaraj, and then Prabhupada was, after Prabhupada left, naturally, ISKCON was a large society with substantial assets. And Prabhupada's oldest son felt that the assets of ISKCON should go to him because the son, in Indian law, inherits the property of the father if there's no proper will, or something like that. The son, by law, inherits. So, somehow or other, Prabhupada's will is not written so properly. And therefore, this legal case was made, and it was done in Bombay, and Tamal Krishnamaraj had to go to the courts to defend Prabhupada's movement. At that particular time, His Holiness Narayan Maharaj, ISKCON case was that Prabhupada took sannyas, and in Indian law, if someone takes sannyas, then there's different rules. I mean, the family is no longer the heir to the property. So I guess the case rested on Prabhupada's sannyas. And His Holiness Narayan Maharaj, when Prabhupada took sannyas from His Holiness Narayan Maharaj's guru, Sripad Keshav Maharaj, Narayan Maharaj was the kind of the lead priest. He did the fire yajna. So Narayan Maharaj came to Bombay and to testify. And you never can tell whether they're going to call you to stand. So he had to go into the courts every day. But when he would go into the courts, he would watch Tamal Krishnamaraj on the stand. And you can imagine Tamal Krishnamaraj being cross-examined, how expert he was and how intelligent he was and how he fought for the mission of Srila Prabhupada. So one day in the temple room, because Narayan Maharaj was also staying there, he saw that Tamal Krishnamaraj every day, and he would go. There were different altars. There's the altar of Gornitai, then Radharasa Bihari, and then Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. And Tamal Krishnamurti would go every day to the altar of Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. Now, in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, when you take initiation, it's Jiva Goswami explains that with initiation comes Bhagavat Sarup Gyan and Sambandha Vishesh Gyan. Bhagavat Sarup Gyan means you get the form of the Lord that's worshipped in your life. And for us, that's Radha Krishna. We're not, Radha Krishna. And Gorni Kai. And we get some Bandha Vishesh Gyan. We get our relationship. When you get initiated in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya coming from Srila Prabhupada, your specific relationship with Krishna is a Vrijadasa. That's your eternal relationship. That's generally your servant of Radha and Krishna. So the Tamal Krishna life would go. Now, in our temples, we also have Sita Ram Lakshmi Hanuman. There also, it's also Krishna, but it's Krishna as a ruler. And it's not particularly our Ishti Dev, our worship of the Lord. But Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and you know, we have it in the temples because it's popular in India and for preaching, etc. People come, they see the deities, and Prabhupada established the temples for preaching. So he would go every day, and he would go to that altar, and in that altar he would meditate. So Narayan Maharaj, who's a Vrijavasi, or he's from Braj, he's known as a Rasika Vaishnava, and you know, he's wondering why Tamal Krishnamurti is a Gaudiya Vaishnava. He's only worshipping Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. So he went to him, and he finally was so curious, he asked, he said, why are you worshipping, instead of going before Radha Rasa Bihari, we are Gaudiya Vaishnava, why are you going and worshipping Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman? But Tamal Krishna said, I'm not worshipping them. He says, I'm meditating on their weapons. and he said, Narayan Maharaj understood, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj was fighting for Prabhupada and Prabhupada's mission, and he was praying to the weapons. He was praying the weapons to go every day and fight for the mission of Prabhupada. And when Narayan Maharaj heard that and understood the level of Tamal Krishnamurti's dedication to Prabhupada, you know, he told this story, and then at that time, he looked at everyone who was standing around when he said it. He said, I learned Guru Nishtha from Tamal Krishnamurti. I learned Guru Nishtha from Tamal Krishnamurti. So, you know, he had that Guru Nishtha, that intimate. Actually it's Guru Vishwambena, what is it? Vishwambena Guru Seva. The fourth item of devotional service is the intimacy spontaneity and intimacy of service to Guru. In fact, there's a purport by Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, which should not be misunderstood and taken out of context. But it says that one who has Guru or Vishwambena Guru Seva, an intimate mood of service to the Guru, he can even forego the bliss of chanting and hearing. So, it shouldn't be taken out of context, because there is a context in which that verse is said, but which that purport is spoken. But that intimate service, and that was, what is disciple? Disciple, shishya, means one who takes mood of the Guru. And I always remember the story of Srila Prabhupada in the room in Calcutta. It was told to me by Tony Nisbhakti, the Goswami, writing the book on Srila Bhakti Siddhanta so at the top of it. But somehow the story about Prabhupada, Prabhupada was sitting in the room in Calcutta. And when Prabhupada was sitting in the room in Calcutta, he had just, I'm reading actually now Prabhupada's letters book, and it's very, very fascinating. Right from the beginning, including his intimate exchanges with Sally Agrawal, you know, when he with the people who sponsored his visa, he was staying with this Indian man's married to an American wife, and it's just wonderful to see the humility of Prabhupada. And then he has this heart attack. Prabhupada goes back to India. He comes off the plane, feels this gush of hot air, and he's writing to his disciples how he felt at home, and you know, taking the proper treatment. And you know, right from the beginning, Prabhupada gave sannyas to Kirtananda, and immediately he disobeyed him. And Prabhupada's loving dealings and his humanity and the encouragement and the empowerment that Prabhupada gave young people to spread Krishna consciousness. And I was just with one friend of mine who, it was kind of interesting, an old friend of mine in Vrindavan, and somehow his guru left, he left this son, and he took from this famous scholar in Vrindavan, very famous scholar, very, very learned, and he was telling me the spiritual crisis he underwent because his scholar does not reciprocate. And he's such a renounced, detached person and so antisocial that, you know, he described, you know, he was driving him every day to his goshula, this person has a goshula, and there was never any reciprocation. There was never any appreciation from this. You know, I was just talking, okay, it's his personality. And he said, yes, I've learned to understand. He just has such a high standard. And, you know, he said, unless you're perfect, he doesn't appreciate you at all. You know, and he said it was so hard because, you know, generally people... And anyway, I was thinking, but I wasn't saying, how wonderful it was that Prabhupada did reciprocate. And he was so grateful for any help and any service that was done. And showered his blessings on his devotees. You know, this guru Nishtha, so fixed in the mission, and so many blessings from Prabhupada. And you know, I'm just very interesting that somehow or other the year that he left this world, on my way to India, I stopped and stayed with him in Oxford, and on my way back, just about this time, but in that year, it was before the GBC meetings, and he was going to the GBC meetings for the first time in about 5 years, and I was with him, and he was studying in his studies, and of course, whatever he put his mind to, I mean, he had the highest grades in the history of Southern Methodist University, or something like that. And he was doing his PhD on the theology of Prabhupada, and whatever he put his mind to was amazing. So, you know, I was with him, and he took the time off. And one thing that I think was very special, although he's such a powerful person, he knew how to take association, and that protected him. One of the most dangerous things is becoming successful in Krishna consciousness in a way that isolates you from your peers. It's so dangerous. Unless one is at the highest level of Krishna consciousness, his protection is his association and peers. And it was so nice how he took association, and I remember spending that time with him, and he took the whole day off, and I made some recommendations to him. I mean, you know, he asked me what to do in Mayapur, and I told him two things and that he should do. And I said, you should bathe every day in the Ganga. And I told him we had a bathe at noon, And I said, every evening you should have kirtans in your room. I guess those kirtans became famous. But, you know, that's a certain, what is humility? Humility means, yes, you may be prabhaktir, to talk, they may be prabhaktir. One who has implicit faith in the order of the spiritual master and the supreme, implicit faith in the spiritual master and the supreme lord, the imports of the Vedas are revealed. And what are the import of the Veda? The import of the Veda is to become liberated. Liberation means what? To give up the ahankara, the false ego. So, to actually understand the import of the Veda, you have to have the proper perspective. So you have to have some type of life that allows you to realize what you're going to study. And therefore, when one has implicit faith, which means what? He puts one, humbly puts himself under the order of Guru and the direction of the Supreme Lord, which is the platform of freedom from ahankar. It is the platform of humility. Then you can actually perceive that and understand how the Vedas are giving that. So, you know, he was a very, very strong leader, but he was always looking for the direction of Krishna, and when he found the direction of Krishna, wherever he found it, he would be humble. He would follow Krishna's order. So it's just nice just to meditate on... You know, the boy John Prabhu said, you know, we come to Mayapur, we come to Vrindavan, you know, now we have the NBT, we have the restaurant, we have all these facilities. But, you know, these came by the sacrifice of Prabhupada's dear intimate disciples. You know, when Prabhupada wanted to get, you know, we enjoy Mayapur now, but who got the land? Prabhupada was trying to get the land. Who did he send to get the land? He sent to Mark Krishnamaraj. He sent to Mark Krishnamaraj to actually secure that land. I mean, this is just one of innumerable services. And, you know, he went. And then Manavi Swami was there when Mark Krishnamaraj came back. He came back with the deed. You know, he got the land. He got the land. And, you know, that was, you know, one of the innumerable services. Myself, I'm appreciating.
Bina ka Sadar Pranam from Toronto.
Thank you. But if you can use your phone, I'm talking now. Thank you so much. Nice to see you. Thank you. Please mute your phone. You press number 6. You know, I'm relishing myself every year doing bhajan at that Govardhan place, but that was the vision of the Mahā Krishnamaraj, because he was there in Prabhupada's last days, and I was also there, not in that same intimate role, but you know, somehow I was able to observe it, and in the very last days, Prabhupada just opened his heart and said, I want you to go to Govardhan. And that's very, very significant, because it's described in the story of Kupana. There's a principle. At the end of life, one real self can manifest. Because you have nothing to hide. Whether it's good or bad, your real nature can manifest. In terms of Kupana, you know, she was posed as a beautiful nurse, but when Krishna was sucking out the life air of her breasts, then she revealed that, the witch body came out. The same thing with Prabhupada. The intimacy of his heart, his spiritual aspirations, couldn't be so overtly revealed in such a worldwide society without people with immature realization not understanding them properly. But at the end, Prabhupada just opened his heart. He wanted to go to Govardhan. And then when Kumar Krishnamaraj was walking on Govardhan Prikram and then saw this old kind of rundown palace in the field, and then was able to get it, so we're all indebted. When we come to Vrindavan, we're indebted. We're indebted to the devotees who sacrificed their lives, performed unlimited austerities. I believe, well, Kamal Krishnamurti was telling me that, but he was so dear to Prabhupada that when I think Kamal Krishnamurti had some kind of appendicitis or some operation, Prabhupada would go visit him to see how he was doing. So, blessings of the Mahabhagavat by the intimacy of one's service. This one story that was amazing to me is the level of Kamal Krishnamurti's practical intelligence was it was at the level of mystic power practically. And I remember I used to stay with him at Mayapur. Somehow in Mayapur we had those quarters, and when I would come to Mayapur he would allow me to stay in those quarters, so I would have some nice, somehow he was kind like that. I had some intimate association with him in that way. One time there was some kind of meeting and there was one sannyasi, and he so much wanted to be on the GDC, and somehow or other they said he couldn't be on the GDC, and they had three devotees talk to him, Jayabhratamaj, Jagadish, and Borijat. And I just happened to be in the room because that's where I was living. But Kamal Krishnamurti came in, saw them sitting there. I was watching the whole conversation, and he knew that they were telling him that, you can't be a GBC. He had that desire. And I remember he looked at Borijan and he said, you told him, he just walked, as he walked by, he said, you told him, why don't you just become a teacher? And then he looked at Jagadish, he said, you told him, why do you want to manage anyway? And Jagadish said, you told him, you can't manage anyway. And it was exactly what everyone's mind was thinking. Anyway, we're remembering him today. Are there any questions by anybody on any subject?
I guess here it is.
Who is this?
This is Gajendra Sutradam.
Yeah, you can ask, please, too.
I wondered if you could elaborate a little bit more on a point you made in there. The risk of gaining status notoriety within the spiritual field and doing so in a worldly fashion.
Say that, of gaining what?
Notoriety, status within the, just spiritual...
Can I make a point about that? I'm not sure. What point did I make?
you were glorifying Kamal Krishnamurti. I was just saying that, he had this ability that, despite being a very prominent figure within the movement, being an advanced poet himself, that he was still able to keep close close relationships with his God brothers.
Thank you. No, the point I was making, I think it's just, there's a preaching mission has a hierarchy, because that's the way a preaching mission means it's institutional, it's in one sense. And, especially Islam, or, it's very institutional. And it's meant that way. Prabhupada incorporated that way, and he established a governing commission. And then there's regional secretaries, there's presidents, there's temple commanders. There's a whole structure, and just living in a corporation, there's limited rasa, there's limited relationships. It's basically someone, and even friends, someone's your GDC and you're a brother, so there's a corporate relationship. But if you look in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Vaishnavas, they're associating in kirtan equally in so many ways. So I say my appreciation to him, immediately was that within that movement that was always, you know, some people would stay 24 hours a day in the corporation, he would always make opportunity to step out of that to exchange as equals, especially in sharing Krishna Prasad and these type of things, to share as equals. And he had many, many friends, and he knew how to relate in that way. And to me, that was an important part of making the Krishna consciousness movement successful. Because we have to show a superior life. And although we need a corporate structure, in one sense, to organize preaching, to introduce people to Krishna consciousness, you have to also bring them into a Vaishnav society. And a Vaishnav society, of course, Madhya Madhikar, there's always, I was reading something today, if I can find it, it would be very interesting to share with the devotees, but I'm not. Yeah, Prabhupada writes, he says, this is from the instructions of Narada Muni, every man should act like this. When he meets a person more qualified than himself, he should be very pleased. When he meets someone less qualified than himself, he should be compassionate for him. And when he meets someone equal with him, he should make friendship with him. In this way, one is never affected by the threefold miseries of this material world. Purport. Generally, when we find someone more qualified than ourselves, we become envious of him. When we find someone less qualified, we deride him. And when we find someone equal, we become very proud of activities. These are the cause of all material tribulations. The great sage Narada therefore advised that a devotee should act perfectly. Instead of being envious of a more qualified man, one should be jolly to receive him. Instead of being oppressive to a less qualified man, one should be compassionate towards him just to raise him to the proper standard. And when one meets an equal, instead of being proud of one's activities before them, one should treat him as a friend. One should have compassion for the people in general who are suffering due to forgetfulness of Krishna. These important functions will make one happy within this material world. So I think my point was, in a corporate structure, you know, generally, you know, if you're the top leader, then you can remove yourself from friendship. You know, because in a hierarchical sense, you're the superior. And in a corporate structure, these things are very, very much set. You know, the fire your temple president, et cetera. So I'm saying that even though he was in that position, he didn't stay all day in the corporate structure. He would move out so that those who are his god brothers, et cetera, he can relate to as friends, which is more or less the mood of Chaitanya Charitamrita with the devotees. You know, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and, you know, Nityananda Prabhu, but there was a mood of friendship and exchange, of intimacy. That's more pleasurable. You know, even any, you know, it's very, very, you know, I saw one thing about Prabhupada that was unfortunate, not Prabhupada, but that because he had to start his own mission, you know, there were no friends. And he was always above everyone else, and therefore we never got the example, and I think we suffered because of this, of seeing our guru in relationship with friends, because he had to become the acharya of his own mission. But Kamal Krishnamurti gave that example to his disciples, even though he was, you know, in such a superior position. He showed them, you know, how to relish the friendship, which is such an intimate and sweet relationship. And therefore he had many, many friends. Thank you. Any other questions?
Maharaj?
Yeah. Can you give me your phone number? I'd like to call you after the class. You know, my computer crashed and all my phone numbers. What's your phone number?
it's
you don't mind if everybody hears it, do you?
Sure, they can all call at some point.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be like, you know, all of a sudden you're going to get a lot of crank phone calls and stuff.
Well, if I do, we'll find out. It's 512.
Yeah.
371.
Yeah.
0470.
0470?
0, yes.
512-371-0470?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a call after the class. There's a few things I want to talk to you about.
Oh,
okay? Good. Let's go.
Marsh, you had mentioned in relation to the previous discussion how ISKCON in many ways is like a military kind of group. And military, not in the sense of fighting, but in the sense of very disciplined, very organized, and aiming towards a specific goal that everyone had to kind of conform to be kind of, to be a member of the society.
Yeah.
And it seems like we're in this kind of historical now is in a kind of phase where it's, I don't know, that model, how to employ that model is being tested and maybe reflected upon and stuff like that.
Well, of course, yeah.
And it's not really... And as someone who kind of has lived in both spheres, the kind of militaristic sphere and the sphere where you're at, where you're outside the kind of society, it's not clear to me always what the right model is, because I think there's values to the militaristic model and also the model where you're a bit more relaxed about how you do things. I wanted to know what your opinion was about what you think the future of preaching is in relation to both the militaristic, so to speak, model and the more laid-back kind of humanistic model.
Well, Well, I mean, you know, I think you know, the ashrams are becoming more monastic, which means there's a lot fewer people in them. But even in that monastic setting, you know, you have to have that life of devotional exchanges, you know? Otherwise, the devotees dry up and it doesn't last. Like, even if you want to, you know, the Brahmachari ashram, a lot of people that could have become monks, you know, they I know people who could have been monks, both men and ladies, you know, who went on to Grihastha ashram. They actually had the potential to do that. But because there wasn't a atmosphere of, you know, human exchanges, you know, even among monks, there's, you know, especially in bhakti, you know, there should be deep friendship. You know, Vaishnava is based on love, right? The loving exchanges. It doesn't say it's for a particular ashram, you know. The Gopi Pitagrinati, you know, it's not just for the Brahmachari ashram. It's not just for, you know, it doesn't mean it's restricted to a particular ashram. Also, the Brahmachari ashram should have those kind of exchanges. I know a lot of people that didn't stay in it because they didn't see that type of life within it. So, you know, what's the future? Well, if the future is monks who are really monks, you know, who actually have that adhikari, and the proper facilities, et cetera, the proper facilities for them, being actually substantially trained in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. It's really, really hard. You know, this Madhavananda, Madhavananda from Bhuvaneshwar, who did the Puri tour for me, he does these magazines, and one of them is on institutions, and such heavy things. You know, it's like someone was sharing to me, it's like the Catholic Church, right? And this guy made this statement. He said, no one had, you know, more saints than the Catholic Church. No one had more debauchees than the Catholic Church, you know? Nobody spread Krishna consciousness, you know, nobody spread God consciousness more than the Catholic Church, you know? Nobody murdered more people than the Catholic Church, you know? No one had any more celibates in the Catholic Church. Nobody had more devotees than the Catholic, you know. So it's kind of like, you know, a real, real fine task, you know, to keep an institution focused on its ideals rather than the idea of becoming the authority of the structure itself. It's just a fine line, you know. What's the future?
Marge, maybe I should say what you think the future should be. That's kind of what I meant. What do you think the future should be?
Well, what the future should be? Well, you know, I think everybody has a particular perspective in terms of their own experience in Krishna consciousness. You know, my perspective is training up first-class men. My perspective is super proper balanced training, including, you know, in the shastra and fixing people up in Krishna consciousness, because what makes a community vibrant are sadhus or saints, you know, and then everything works. So I think the most important, if I would say, you know, the most vibrant thing is training. I like this school in Govardhan, and I give class there regularly, you know, because somehow from the world they've gotten, you know, very substantial saintly people who are living in Govardhan, and, you know, both following a strict sadhana along Prabhupada's lines and being trained in the philosophy in a way that the knowledge they're getting, and the knowledge should be like the fruits on a tree, the wealth should make the tree bend. So when you actually get knowledge in the right way, you should bend, you should become humble. And to me, that's the future. I always thought that. That's why I started the Bhakti Shastri school in Palako. That was always my vision. It was always my vision that what makes something successful is a sadhu. And a sadhu means one who can deliver Krishna. You know, I'm starting this sangha, you know, just to, you know, people are to give Krishna katha. But in one sense, what it should be, if Krishna consciousness becomes successful, there should be people trained in every area where you can walk across the street, you know, and hear quality Krishna katha. You know, because, you know, hearing invokes bhakti. Hearing is the first essential. That's why I hold this. I'm trying to provide some sangha, but ideally, you know, and if I think there's any shortcoming in the development of Prabhupada's mission, it's the failure to sufficiently train people in this the tattva, the philosophy, substantial of Krishna consciousness, and the ability and qualities to develop it. You know, when I took sannyas, Satsarup Maharaj said that what Islam needs is people whom others can take shelter of. He therefore said, avoid politics and business. And if you look at the qualities of a Brahmin, the quality of a Brahmin, Brahma Karma Svabhavajam, a Brahmin works by exhibiting certain qualities. When they told Prabhupada, when Prabhupada said he wanted to open a Varnashram college, and they asked him, how will the devotees be, what should they learn? Prabhupada didn't say subjects. He quoted the Bhagavad Gita, Shamo, Tamasupo, Saucham, Shantir, Arjunam, Avacha, Jnanam, Vijnanam, Astika, Brahma, Karma, some, you know, peacefulness, tolerance, self-control, that a Brahmin works by exhibiting certain qualities. You know, so, you know, that type of training, you know. Prabhupada said, I want people vidvan in bhakti marg. He wanted to be learned in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, which means you not only learn, you apply the philosophy. So to me, that's the vision. And without that, then, you know, people are not going to advance. And if people are not going to advance, the movement is not going to be vibrant. They advance by sadhu sangha. So the movement has to provide that. The mission has to provide that. And so I'm kind of doing this here from Vrindavan. But, you know, it's nice, but, you know, I remember when I did that festival in Dinanagari, for 1 month at Kartik Festival, just speaking Krishna Katha, practicing Krishna Katha. And I thought, yes, you know, but why should I have to just travel? There should be someone here, living here, you know? And that's my vision. Always has been. And it's always what I most wanted to do in Krishna consciousness, train up an intelligent class of people. Does that answer your question to some degree?
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Thank
you. Okay. Any other questions? Okay, we're getting a little bit late here. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hi, Domaj.
Yes?
That's Yuga.
Who's that?
Yuga.
I can't hear you. Who is that?
That's Yuga.
Oh, Yuga. Yes. Hare Krishna.
Thank
nice
you very much for like Srila Gaurdeva's glorification.
Oh, yeah. Yuga. Yeah, I wanted to say something, and I can tell you that I celebrated, it's kind of an unusual celebration, by going over to Gopal Rajan, and I'll just tell you, what a celebration. I didn't think I'd be able to get to class after he fed me, because he made his own preparation that he makes, like, stuffed bread. You know, I can't, you know, it's like, and he made these pizza pops with and so many things, and I went over there with Dina Grimarch, and it was really nice. Thank you, Dina. Nice to hear from you on this day.
Thank you. You have a good day, you can want to celebrate.
And nice hearing. I got your letter, but my computer crashed. I have to go into different places, and it's almost like no place for a Ramachari kind of thing, you know? Today I went to the internet, you know, and I went there, and there was just one seat left, but there were four ladies, you know, and I just thought, you know, so crowded. So I had to go out and wait till there was like a better seat for me, and you know, so I just really can't answer my mail so much, but I got your letter.
Yeah, that's
hi,
okay. Hi,
thank you. Anybody else like to say hi, Krishna?
Jai Subhadra.
Jai Subhadra. Isn't it nice on this day, Uttama Krishnamurti's disciple was kind of on. Did you get the letter that I'm coming?
Yes. Govan and Gopakishu are arranging to pick you up.
Okay. And you're going to prepare dinner?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Shastra Das.
Shastra, we are missing you so much here in the Dham.
I miss being there, Maharaj. Thank you.
Yeah, that was great. Thank you. Shastra very nicely provided at Puri and other places for all the devotees to that Jagannath Prasad. It was wonderful. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. This is Jani Thai here.
Hey, Jani Thai, give me your phone number, too. If you don't mind giving it out.
That's fine. When are you going to call? I'm just trying to give you the right number.
Just tell me when. I can call tomorrow. I can call tomorrow night, your time.
I sent you an email with some good times. Tonight, my time would be good, or mornings in general are good. My mornings.
Okay. Well,
anyway,
what about
some time
I'm not going to give you. You don't want to give your phone number out now?
Sure. Just call myself. 512.
Okay.
663.
Okay.
4274.
Okay, and what time should I call you tomorrow tonight?
My time tonight?
Yeah.
Any time, how about 7:30 my time? Does that work for you, or is later better?
That works, because that's, I think, 9 o'clock my time.
Okay, great.
Is it 9 o'clock? I'll figure it out. 7:30. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. How do you go? Nice to hear from you, John. Hey. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Anjali, Satyabhama's granddaughter.
This is who?
Anjali.
Anjali. From where?
Satyabhama's granddaughter.
Say that again. Say that again.
It's Satyabhama Mataji's daughter.
Oh, Anjali, that's so nice that you can come on the Sangha. Thank you so much. Nice to hear from you. And is your grandmother there?
Yep, we're all here.
Okay, well, tell them I wish them all well. I'll be coming in soon. I'll have to come over for some Puri Roti in China. Okay?
Hani Maharaj, Sadar Charan Spash Karti Maharaj, main sabke bana bol rahi hu. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Thank you all. Thank you.
Maharaj Sadar Charan Spash Karti hu.
Okay. Hare Krishna, thank you.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Very well. Thank you so much. Nice. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Henry.
Wow, Henry, nice to hear from you. Thank you. Great. That was, of course, it's so nice to hear from people who have, especially have association with Hare Krishna Maharaj. I'm sure you're remembering the fond times where you would go to Cambridge and how wonderful his Sangha association was. Thank you. Anyone else like to say Hare Krishna?
Krishna Maharaj, this is Gandiva.
So nice. Gandiva, one favor. I tried to open the attachment you gave me.
I was afraid. I hope I didn't crash your computer, Maharaj.
You didn't crash my computer, but if you can send it in the text itself rather than an attachment, because I couldn't open the attachment.
Okay.
Can you do that?
Sure.
Please send it again, because I tried to open it. No, you didn't crash the computer. I was on the cyber cafe.
I put a photo in there, so I thought it might have.
Okay, well, somehow I couldn't open it. Just send it again, okay?
Okay, sure. Thank you for that.
I'm interested about your question, too.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? That's Gandiva. Okay, that's so nice, too, because she's also Krishna Maharaj's disciple. That's Jesus from Hong Kong, from Israel. Gandiva's from Hong Kong, and then Jaisi Bhadra from New Jersey. So we have these, and I'm in India, so we practically have all the continents covered. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay. We'll end now, and we'll all thank you, mercy. I feel you there. Thank you. Don't you hope that there will be a staff to listen to the gentle people in poverty, the old version of the old.